I know Joanne has gotten you some questions, so why don't we just start off with the first one? In 1979, what Vietnam Veterans Memorials were there in this country?
1979, there were actually none in 1979. There was a private memorial built in New Mexico at a place called Eagle's Nest, and very, you know, way back in the mountains. So there were none, and that's basically the answer to the question.
Okay. And you started this with about $2,800 of your own money. What did you buy first? What were the first steps in getting started?
The first thing to purchase was an attorney, actually, and legal services to draw up the articles of incorporation, you know, to become an official nonprofit organization, and then concurrent with that, to get the Internal Revenue Service to recognize the organization as a legitimate what's called 501c3 charity. So that's exactly what we did, and it. So 1979, we started this sort of in the summer, and we became officially, the IRS by July. We were a real nonprofit. You get tax deductible donations.
Yes.
Then in November, we began the legislative process.
And I understand that about a quarter of a million people donated to raise the $8 million or so to get started?
To get started and finished, actually, yeah.
Okay.
Essentially, this was a grassroots effort by people giving small donations and from throughout the country. And we raised the money from that technique using direct mail. We had some radiothons. And also we got a few donations from companies like Boeing, for example, Exxon. Gave us some donations as well, but it was the fundraising side of this was probably the easy part, and the hard part was, you know, sort of the political side.
Did Congress fund any part of this other than the land?
Congress did not fund any part of it, but we did get the land. And what we did was we short-circuited a process by designating a site in the legislation. The site that was designated was the 2 acres of ground in Constitution Gardens, and that's where you'll be going to see the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington.
So after this took off, were there any groups that resisted the monument at all, or was it pretty much a slam dunk as far as getting people on board?
Well, it was pretty easy to get most people on board, and the idea of a monument did not really bother anyone. Some people really felt that the efforts at the time for Vietnam veterans should go towards finding jobs and health care and all of that sort of thing, and that this was, you know, while harmless, not the sort of thing that some people were even interested in even helping with. But the project became very controversial after the architectural design competition, which was the largest ever held in the history of the United States or Europe.
Well, let me ask you about that first. What prompted the decision to have a competition versus simply hiring someone, as most memorial commissions seem to do?
Well, we did some research, and we found that really some of the great works of public art in the world, the Eiffel Tower, The St. Louis Arch, for example, came about as a result of a design competition, which, if it's run properly, is a very fair way to allow a lot of talented people to compete and sometimes come up with an extraordinary result, you know, that you wouldn't get if you just went out and hired one of the big firms in Washington or New York.
Yes.
So we became convinced that the architectural competition would be the best technique, and we hired a guy, sort of a fellow named Paul Spryragan, who wrote a book called Design Competitions. And Paul Spryragan was very, very well known. So we actually hired him to direct the design competition.
Now, at the time of Mile End selection, there was tremendous criticism about the design. Why do you think people reacted so strongly against this most elegant design?
Well, at the time, if you've ever seen the drawings of it, most people could not visualize what it would look like. It was very hard to capture in two-dimensional drawings, and ultimately, the basic argument was, look, every other monument is white in Washington. You know, the Lincoln, the Washington, everything's white, but this one's black. So, you know, usually when people heard that, they began scratching their heads. You know, it was a pretty sort of good argument to use. And then the people became very emotional and said, you know, it's black, below ground, this, you know, filthy trench, a memorial to the anti-war movement. And they made the argument that the memorial itself, because of its color and because of the subterranean nature of it, was making inherently an anti-war statement, that the war was bad, and maybe the veterans were bad, but that this was a political statement on the entire Vietnam War. And we've got to remember that this whole effort in 1979, 1980, I mean, the war really just ended in 1975, and it was really quite a bit of an open sore for our country.
And since its opening, literally millions and millions and millions of people have visited, right?
Yeah, literally tens of millions, 60, 80 million, and no one really knows, but every year between 3 and 4 million people visit the memorial. It's been up for 25, 26 years now, so maybe 100 million people. But the controversy became a footnote to history.
Yes.
After it was built and people saw that the stone was a very beautiful stone, which allowed one to see one's own reflection in it. You know, this polished black granite, it's really nice, and it's also very a much stronger stone than marble, and much more durable in many ways. And, you know, there's a place in the U.S. Capitol where this congressman was shot by a lobbyist. This is like in the 1860s,
yes, right
before the Civil War. But you can still see the bloodstain after 150 years. They really can't get it out. So with this, you certainly have protection against that sort of thing if someone were to hurt themselves there. But basically, the mirror-like surface allows you not only to see your own reflection, but to see the reflection of the other monuments. And you'll see when you go down there, when people start pulling their cameras out and thinking, like, you know, they want to get that big picture, there's one of the panels, you'll see the Washington Monument in it, absolutely perfect, and that's the one everyone takes a picture of.
Well, I remember when the wall opened, there was just a tremendous outpouring of of strong feelings as people reconnected with their loved ones, their friends, family members through that wall, tremendous stories of healing. What's one of your favorite stories from that time?
Well, there have been more than a few instances of military veterans, because of the nature of how the names are arrayed. They're arrayed in chronological order instead of alphabetical order, so the veterans are looking for the same names from some battle, which are right next to each other on the memorial, and turn around and see one of their friends who, you know, they thought was killed during the battle. So more than a few instances like that have occurred.
Wow.
Yeah.
So they rediscover each other right there.
Right there. And it's because of part of the genius of Maya Lin and her design indeed was and remains the chronological rather than alphabetical listing of the names, making it a historical, a linear experience. The names are arrayed as if they're pages on a book, and there are 140 panels on the memorial, and the beginning and end meet in the center of the memorial.
And roughly, about how many names have been added since the original wall's construction?
We've added about a little over 200 names. And these are people who died from combat-related wounds after the war, and a few people who just got left off. Just the records weren't available at the time.
Yes.
So we do it every year. We put a few names on.
Okay. Yeah. Now, the Three Soldiers Monument, which is a more traditional, I think it's a bronze statue.
Yes.
That was added. Yeah. How did you feel about that when it was put in place?
Well, when it was put in place, as you'll see, it was done in such a way that it really added to the experience of people when they come to see the memorial, because it gives them some context. You know, this is what the soldiers looked like. And the sculptor, Frederick Hart, was referred to at the time as really America's Michelangelo. I mean, there is no living sculptor who had his capabilities. He's dead, unfortunately, but extraordinarily talented, and he's also famous for his work called The Creation at the National Cathedral, a frieze over the main entrance there. So he felt there should be a dynamic and an artistic tension between the statue and the wall. And he became very much mentally engaged in a way to make that happen. So what he decided that the best course of action would be to remove the statue from the wall so that the servicemen are actually looking at it, you know, as if, you know, maybe they're looking for their own names or something.
Yes.
Yeah, so he was quite clever in the way he did it. And of course, if you don't like the statue, all you have to do is turn your back and look at the wall. Or if you don't like the wall, you can just turn your back and look at the statue. So it's a perfect sort of Washington compromise, I suppose.
People have a choice.
Yeah, they do.
Now, in 1979, of course, everyone knew about the Vietnam conflict. But now, 30-some years later, there are a lot of people who were not alive at the time of the conflict. How does your organization deal with that? Or have you noticed that people are behaving differently who are younger that come to the wall? Any thoughts on that?
Well, we do a couple of things. First of all, probably 40% of the visitors are younger than the memorial itself. In other words, about 40% of the visitors are younger than age 25. And we get, you know, thousands and thousands of kids who are high school, middle school, and even younger who are part of these class trips to Washington, D.C. So they come from all over the country to see it. And the problem is the lack of knowledge about that particular event in American history. And the young people are not getting the sort of history education they need, and people bemoan that fact. And part of the trick is to make the teaching the war easier for the teachers and more interesting for the students. And we have some techniques which have been working quite well in classrooms around the country with our teachers network. And the techniques include bringing in military veterans and bringing in people who oppose the war as well to have a few words to say about that conflict, and so that the young people can see that this really had an effect on people.
One of the most interesting films that I've seen in the last few years was Robert McNamara's film, The Fog of War, in which he came as close as Robert McNamara does to expressing some regret about the conflict and distancing himself somewhat from it. In your opinion, what did America learn from that conflict?
Well, what did we learn? I suppose the main thing we learned is that we, as a nation, need to provide some recognition and appreciation of the sacrifices of veterans, whether the country agrees with the war or not, separating the war from the warrior. We've just been in, and we are now involved in another war, which most people oppose. Afghanistan and Iraq, very few, not a very big percentage of the overall public approved of the two conflicts, but nobody took it out on the military veterans. And a lot of these men and women increasingly got a lot of applause and thank yous when they came back to their home for serving the country, even though people and didn't think the war was such a good thing. Nobody took it out on the veterans. That's one thing we learned. And that may be the primary lesson of Vietnam. You know, the more interesting issue, of course, is when we look at Iraq and Afghanistan. You know, they've been long wars. Now Afghanistan's gone on longer than Vietnam. And what are the chances of a successful outcome in either of those two conflicts? So you sort of have to wonder what are the other lessons that maybe we want to take another look at.
Can you see in the future a Afghanistan-Iraq wall being erected?
I can see, yes, I can see a nice monument. And I don't know how far to take it back. I mean, a lot of this terrorism and anger goes back to Lebanon, and I think that was in 1983, you know, where a couple hundred Marines were killed. There have been a lot of incidents against our armed forces for an extended period of time. But and it'll be a very interesting exercise, and I'm happy to help everyone who's involved with it make the hard decisions about who, how, and when to memorialize the sacrifices of the people who are over there right now and who have been over through some sort of an appropriate monument.
Mr. Scruggs, thank you very much. This is George Smart interviewing Jan Scruggs, the founder of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Foundation. Thank you very much, Mr. Scruggs.
Okay. Thank you and have a good day.
Bye-bye.